Wendy Alexander Zelbin is on the line. He, of course, the managing editor over at Decider.com. We talk to Alexander pretty much every Friday to get an idea of what is good and what is not good on television. Alexander, having a good week so far?
Yeah, how about you guys?
Good, yeah. It's starting to warm up. Everything's looking good. No complaints. Let's start out by talking about the situation over at the Conners. Roseanne Barr has had some pretty sad words to say about her former friend and co-star Sarah Gilbert. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, I'll actually start with the good news that happened just before I got on the air with you guys. The Conners has been renewed for a second season.
Awesome.
They just dropped the news. It was rumored, but it's definitely coming back next season on ABC. So that's, regardless of what Roseanne has to say, that's good news for Sarah Gilbert. But there was a huge story in the Washington Post yesterday. There's so much in it. We sat around trying to figure out how we were going to talk about it here at Decider, and ended up breaking out a couple of things. But one of the biggest things is Barr said that Sarah Gilbert, and this is the quote, "She destroyed the show and my life with that tweet." So even though it was Roseanne's tweet that got the show canceled, she's putting the blame right back on Sarah Gilbert for throwing her under the bus. So regardless of what's going on with the Conners, Roseanne, as one might expect, is not going to be quiet about it anytime soon.
And all Sarah Gilbert did was kind of say that she didn't agree with Roseanne's tweet. And that's not throwing her under the bus. That's just saying, you know, hey, Roseanne will be Roseanne, but I certainly don't agree with that. And Sarah's name was on the show. I mean, she was
responsible. Yeah, she's the reason that the show reemerged, right, Alex? Isn't that the case?
Yeah, exactly. And listen, I mean, again, not that any of this is surprising, but it's a shocking amount of lack of self-reflection on Roseanne's part that she's just throwing the blame around to everybody else when another huge part of this Washington Post report, which we kind of knew about already, was ABC had to do things like they put together, I believe it was 27 pages of essentially opposition research, knowing that they were going to be doing an episode about trans issues, of just statements that Roseanne has made over the years that are anti-trans so that they're ready for it. They warned her multiple times about tweets, told her, "You tweet one more time and we're taking the show off the air." She tweeted one more time and they took the show off the air. So, frankly, the fault is entirely on her, and she doesn't seem willing to accept that at all.
And I do want to say, I really used to love Roseanne, and I loved the original sitcom, and I thought I was going to miss her so tremendously that this show would suck. It does not suck without her. I don't even find myself thinking about her.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So, really a good job.
It definitely, taking her out of the mix, and I believe we talked about this before, it actually lets the other actors breathe a little bit and explore their characters more. And one of our reviewers, Brett White, who's a huge fan of the show, actually thinks it's better without her.
It's pretty good.
That says a lot. She's one of those celebrities. I've never met Roseanne Barr, Alex, but and this is genuine when I say this, I worry about her. Every once in a while, there will be a celebrity where so much bad stuff happens to them, and you go, I hope they're okay. Roseanne fits that category for me.
Yeah, it's really tough. I mean, I think people know this in a certain sense, but once you get into that light and once you get to a level like Roseanne did with her initial show and even throughout the years, it does something to you. You're constantly focused on all the time. You're walking all those red carpets. People are constantly asking you questions and asking your opinions on things. And it changes the way your brain works, you know? It changes the way that you approach things. I'm not saying that you didn't necessarily have problems beforehand or during, but at the same time, celebrity and that amount of focus and putting people under the microscope, there's no way it's not going to affect you.
Yep, well said. All right, tell us about the show The Act. I just read something about it in one of the trades about a week ago. It looks like a pretty good show. What can you tell us about The Act?
Sure. So this is based on the true life story of Gypsy Rose Blanchard, which is so insane. It sounds like it was made up. There's been a couple of documentaries made about it. One of our writers, Kayla Cobb, has been super into it. She recommends checking out Mommy, Dead and Dearest, which I believe is on HBO, and you can still watch there to see the real story. But the idea is there is a girl named Gypsy Rose Blanchard. Her mom, Dee Dee Blanchard, took care of her because she was extremely sick, took her to hundreds of doctor's appointments over the years, and then Dee Dee Blanchard was found dead. And once she was found dead, it turned out that Gypsy Rose Blanchard was never sick. her mother was faking her sickness, faking her age, faking everything about her. And ultimately, Gypsy Rose Blanchard hooked up with this guy and convinced him to kill her mom. It's an insane story. The Act is on Hulu. The first two episodes are up now, and it's going to be one episode weekly for the next 4 weeks, I guess. It stars Joey King, who you might know from The Kissing Booth, but also Patricia Arquette is in it. Chloe Sevigny is in it. It's definitely a more sensationalized and more relatively entertaining version of the story than the documentaries, but it's definitely a must-watch.
That's The Act, and it's on Hulu.
I got to watch that.
Yeah.
Looks really good.
There's a show, S's Creek. I don't know that we for sure can say it here on the air. it is a wonderful show. Bill, you had suggested it. I watched it. I love it. I'm up to date. I don't want to give anything away from last night's episode, but it was a very poignant and beautiful one. It actually made me cry. That show very rarely has ever made me cry. Mm. And I also heard news that one more season and that's it. Is that true?
Yeah, that's correct. Unfortunately, it's kind of amazing because the show has been trucking along in the background for, they're on the fifth season now, and it really only feels like this season is when it's caught on. People have caught up with it on Netflix enough to get excited about the show. Eugene Levy's in it. Catherine O'Hara's in it. The cast is fantastic. It's very, very funny, usually, except as you mentioned that last episode. But yeah, they made the creative decision to do, after this fifth season, there's going to be a sixth season, and then they're done. So
is there any way they can change their mind? Because I know you hear this, but can honestly, like, all of a sudden they think, you know what, maybe we have more to say and keep it going? Does that ever happen, Alexander?
I mean, certainly that could happen, but my greater suspicion is what they will probably do is they feel like they've reached everything they need to say with this show, but it's Eugene Levy and actually his son, Daniel Levy, are the main creative forces behind the show. I'm sure that they will go on and do something similar with a very similar cast, but with a different premise. That would be my suspicion at this point.
But I will so miss Catherine O'Hara's accent, baby. I don't even know what it is, but I love it.
Just an affected rich woman accent,
yeah,
right?
I love it. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what's happened with Modern Family. They were deciding whether or not this would be the last season, and then everybody thought about it and said, well, I think we can swing one more.
And it's getting better again. I feel like it stalled for a little bit, and it's pretty fresh and good again.
Yep. Alex, sit tight. We'll come back and talk more television with Alexander Zalbin. He's the managing editor of Decider.com. If you have any questions or comments for him, 312-981-7200 is the way to do it. Alexander Zalbin's here. He's the managing editor of Decider.com, a wonderful website if you like entertainment news, show business news, TV news. Alex, I know a little bit about this show, The Dirt. This is the Netflix series about Motley Crue. What can you tell us about it?
Yeah, this is actually a movie that's out on Netflix today. It's an adaptation of the book of the same name. And as you mentioned, it's a Motley Crue biopic. If you're looking for Bohemian Rhapsody, but instead of about Queen, about Motley Crue, this is definitely for you.
Who wants to see Motley Crue?
Wendy.
I mean, I'll look at Vince Neil and Tommy Lee for a while.
Come on.
So if you know the book The Dirt, we actually have a piece that should be going up shortly about some stuff that was left out of the movie, but the behind the scenes of Motley Crue is insane. There's a story about Ozzy Osbourne not getting any cocaine while he's hanging out with them, snorting a line of ants instead.
Oh, God.
And it only gets crazier.
You're not going to watch a show where Ozzy Osbourne snorts ants?
Shannon!
Come on. That's perfect.
Yeah.
All right. And we already said Netflix, and that's starting today, right?
Yeah, it's starting today.
All right. I'll watch it.
The OA over on Netflix. Take it away. What do we need to know about the OA?
Oh, my gosh. So much. So I'll try to distill it. This was one of the crazier series that was on Netflix in 2016. It was essentially or started about a woman who is imprisoned with a bunch of other people by a strange mad scientist, ends up breaking out, and it blew up into these strange metaphysical time-traveling things. It was one of those series where you feel like your brain is breaking while you're watching it.
Wait, Alex, hold on a second. Do you remember watching this, Wendy? Because I recommended it to you, and you told, maybe you were lying to me, but you told me you watched it. The OA.
Oh, I did watch that.
You did watch it. Now, do you remember?
I enjoyed
that.
That
was really good. Yeah.
It's definitely one of the most beautiful series I think I've ever seen. And the second part is out today on Netflix. I never thought there would be a second part. I didn't feel like there needed to be a second part. But there is a second season. Our reviewer, Anna Menta, who watched it, absolutely loved it. And she was a little bit mixed on the ending. I don't want to spoil anything here, but she was mixed on the ending of the first part. If you felt like that, the second part definitely redeems that and follows up on that. The performances are fantastic. It's visually gorgeous. Go in knowing nothing, and you'll also almost come out knowing less, but it's a must-watch.
The ending, I don't want to give too much away, but took place at a school. There was a very strange event at a school, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And there's a lot of ambiguity about what does happen or what doesn't happen. Yeah. Almost immediately when you get into part two of the series, it'll cut through that ambiguity. You'll know actually what happened last season, but then it'll add a few layers of weirdness all on its own.
I have to say, somebody recommended it to me and said, this is a show I can't recommend for everybody, but you're going to like it. And I watched it and I loved it. And then every time I'd recommend it to somebody, I would also say that. It's not for everybody.
I loved it, but I honest to God, cannot remember,
remember it at all. No? Oh, it's really good.
Yeah.
All right.
So I will say, Anna, our writer, put it very well, where she said that it's a spiritual show without being an overtly religious show, which I think is a good way of describing it.
That's very, very good way to describe it. Now, Alex, here's a show. It's called What We Do in the Shadows. It's a TV series on FX, but that was a movie originally, wasn't it?
It was a New Zealand movie by Taika Waititi, who people probably know as the director of Thor Ragnarok, the Marvel movie. Mm-hmm. It was a vampire mockumentary set in New Zealand. It's so funny. I definitely recommend tracking it down. But now there's a new version of it. It's a vampire mockumentary sitcom. There's new actors in it. It's still run by Taika Waititi and Jemaine Clement, who's half of Flight of the Conchords. But it's set in Staten Island, and it's about four vampires living in a house in Staten Island. They've been tasked with taking over the world, but really all they want to do is kind of just hang out in their house. I've seen the first couple of episodes. It premieres Wednesday forgetting the time, probably 10 p.m. on FX. It's so funny, and it's so good. You don't need to see the movie. You don't need to know anything about it. It's very sitcom-y, but it's hugely creative and a lot of fun.
Speaking of vampires, I have seen promos for a series coming on this summer based on Nosferatu, but it looks like an updated version of Nosferatu. You've seen them,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, there's a number two. I mean, they spell it out.
Like
yeah.
Prince would have
right,
done.
Right, right.
Yeah. What do you know about that?
Sure. This is based on the book by Joe Hill. It's Nosferatu.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a riff. It's not explicitly about vampires, but it's one of my absolute favorite books. I'm a huge fan of Joe Hill. It's about a guy, well, it's not specifically the villain of the book. It's about this guy named Charlie Manx, who's sort of an old-timey cab driver. He drives around, picks up kids in his cab, and then drives them to a mysterious place called Christmas Land, mm-hmm. and essentially sucks out all of their energy and turns them into monsters. And it's about the one girl who escaped him, and then years later comes back and comes face to face with him. It's so fantastic. I cannot wait to see the series. It's coming out on AMC later this
year. Sounds like fun to have a bunch of kids over to the house and watch it with them.
Yeah, just to have a good Christmas party.
Yeah, that'd be great. Oh, good. All right, so that's, I keep calling it Nosferatu, but you called it something differently. How is it pronounced?
No, it's just spelled differently.
And right. I remember the OA now. I remember the whole. That is super creepy cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. It used to be, Alex, that you would see trailers for movies. You know, you'd go to the movies, and before a film, they would show you what was coming up. Now they're doing this more and more for TV shows. Let me just run two past you. Tell me what you know. I just saw one yesterday for season 3 of Stranger Things. It looks bigger and better than ever. Have you seen this trailer?
Oh, my gosh. The trailers for Stranger Things are so good. I love the trailer so much. It's going to take place in the summer. The whole season is dropping on July 4th. Hopefully you don't have any plans on that day. I don't know if anything else is going on, but Stranger Things is coming out. So it should be a national holiday. But the kids are back. They're in a mall, so we're going to get some like good 80s-style mall shenanigans. But the monsters look bigger, it looks scarier, it looks more exciting. There's new cast members in it. Carrie Elwes. I can never pronounce his name. From Elvis. Princess Bride.
Yeah.
Elwes.
Now the Elwes. Thank you. Is now the mayor of town. Certainly, probably nothing bad going on with him. But it looks great. Cannot wait.
I can't wait either.
And there's already speculation, even though you're just watching a 90-second trailer, people have somehow been able to determine that one of the cast members, one of our favorite cast members, may not be with us for very long. And there's already all kinds of angry people on Twitter saying, please don't kill this guy off. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Are you? Can I say it? You're talking about Steve Harrington?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Steve Harrington, who's had an amazing arc over the course of the series, from the town bully to everybody likes to joke that he's the mom of six kids.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to kill it off. I think he's going to be in big danger. Certainly there's that scene of an injection in his neck or something like that. But he is such a beloved character. I think he'll go through some bad times, but I think he's going to be okay.
I hope you're right. And then the other trailer that I saw, and you already know what a fan I am of this show. We've talked about it a few times. They've announced the startup date for Deadwood, the movie version of Deadwood on HBO. I think it's May 30th. Does that sound right?
May 31st, I believe.
May 31st, yeah. But there's so much in that trailer. Again, even though you're just watching a minute and a half or 2 minutes, every scene they show you just looks so huge and big and important to the show. What are your thoughts when you watched it?
It's great. They've been talking about this, I don't even know for how long, maybe a decade
Eight
at
years.
This point, about
yeah.
bringing back Deadwood.
Yeah.
But the whole cast came back, the creators came back. It looks like the perfect continuation of it. I'm really curious to see if they completely tie it up at the end of the movie or if they leave it open for even more, because I can't imagine it. It sounds like, from reports behind the scenes, that everybody had the absolute best time coming back and doing this again.
Yeah.
So I do wonder if we're going to see Deadwood 2 Electric Boogaloo or something like that down the road.
I hope so. Alex, great to talk to you. Thanks for spending time with us. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too. Thanks so much.
It's Alexander Zelbin, the managing editor of Decider.com.